Our reading comes from the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We read from verses 1 to 12 and 18 to 22. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved." Then they called him in again and commanded him not to speak or teach at all in Jesus' name. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After these threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was 40 years old. May God bless to us our reading from his word. Amen. Well, since the day of Pentecost, we've been looking at the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the exciting story of the way in which the church expanded its boundaries. The church proclaiming now that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and that death could not hold him, and the grave had no victory. And the gift of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, came upon the apostles, you remember, that empowered them to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It was an exciting time in the life of the church. Last time, you remember, we looked at the way in which Peter and John healed the cripple at the beautiful gate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, now, we find that because of their witness, because of their boldness in preaching the gospel, they are dragged before the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, and they were told they were not to speak or share the name of Jesus anymore. But the reality is they just resisted. They would not accede to that request. They couldn't do it. Now they were filled with the power of the Spirit. Now these men who had hidden previously because of the persecution of the religious authorities boldly proclaim before the greatest authority of the nation, "We cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and what we have heard. We don't listen to you, we listen to God." And that's exactly what they did. They listened to the power of the Spirit. They were enabled in the power of Pentecost to go forth and proclaim the fullness of grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And dear friends, that is the message we still proclaim to this very day. We would not be here this morning if it hadn't been for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power that enabled the church to proclaim that in Christ alone is the only hope and joy, is the salvation that Christ offers to everyone who will come. And you know, dear friends, the Sanhedrin of that Jewish council that day represents every force in our world, in our community today, social, cultural and political, that opposes the gospel. We find that again and again. There is persecution, terrible persecution, in the world of many Christians today. Many Christians are suffering greatly because of their faith, especially in Nigeria at the moment, where we are finding that persecution and the murder of Christians goes on week after week with no action from the authorities to stop that. In Muslim countries, of course, even to whisper the name of Jesus would mean certain death. But it's happening in our society as well. The church has been pushed to the periphery of society. A gentleman preaching the gospel in London last week was taken aside and said, "You can't do that. You can't proclaim the gospel. You can't do that. You can't preach anymore on the street. It's not allowed anymore." We find again and again that the church has become so institutionalized in many situations That it is seen just as something that people do on a Sunday, something that people just collect together to worship and to praise God. It is that, of course, but it is much, much more. We witness to the saving work of Christ, and we cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and heard. You know, the world says, keep your faith private, don't make a fuss, blend in with community, compromise your faith, that you'll be acceptable in society. No, dear friends, no. We are called by the grace of God to proclaim this gospel to the salvation of souls. We preach this gospel because we see it as the means of a society moving from darkness to light. Do you know why? Because what Peter and John proclaimed that day was the fullness of God's love, of God's compassion for the world. The church went on to be a community that showed that compassion in the care they showed for each other. The church in that context were unafraid in terms of proclaiming the gospel despite the persecution that came upon them. The gospel is to be proclaimed to the furthest corners of the earth. And while we will find, and things will, I'm sure, get worse, when we are fined, be quiet. Don't cause offence. Don't proclaim that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light, that we say, oh no, that's not culturally acceptable anymore. We're in a pluralistic society. This was a pluralistic society. This was a society that was filled with pagan gods. And yet the church went forth and they said, there's light and hope in Jesus of Nazareth alone, crucified and raised from the dead. None of us knows what's going to happen in the UK in the months and the years that lie before us. Perhaps the situation for the church will get much worse as political correctness and this woke society in which we are living. But we need to stand up for the truth, to stand up for that which we believe, and to do it in a way that was encapsulated here. There was an arrogance with Peter and John, notice. They were in front of these people and they spoke in such a way that was almost gentle, in a way that challenged the very essence of what these people were trying to do. These people thought that they would cower down, that they would be arrogant in what they said. No, I'm very sorry, they said, we just cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and heard. We met with him, and once you've met with him, you can't be quiet. Once you've met with him, you can't be nothing but changed. When you've met with him, it's a life-changing experience that you share with others. We need to do it gently, but with conviction. Not being arrogant, not condemning the world, because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to do it by the means which we are the salt and the light of the community of which we are a part. That's what God calls us to do. They also declared that which was a living experience. They simply said, we have seen, we have heard, we have experienced something. And that was the basis of their testimony. They met with Jesus, simple as that. These men had been called to be disciples. These men had left their nets. These men had been fishermen. Not learned men, not deep theologians. No, not one little bit at all. They often got confused and they often got things wrong. But the one thing that enabled them to do this, and the one thing that enabled the power of the Spirit to ignite within them, was the experience of grace. The experience of salvation. The experience of God's forgiveness and love. We often sing that hymn, O love that wilt not let me go, I turn my weary soul to thee. I pray that that will be our experience. Having met with Jesus, having experienced grace. What is grace? Love to the undeserving. You and I don't deserve what God gives to us, but he's freely given to us. And we can look back on our lives and we can think sometimes, well, was I there? Was I so separated from God? But now I hear where I am. Did any of you watch that rerun of the 1966 World Cup final on Channel 4 last night? I wonder if you saw it. I watched it all through. Wow! 1966, I won't tell you how old I was very, very young. So much so that I remember watching it with my father on a 14-inch black and white television. Do you remember those? Yeah. But I saw it now in colour. Yeah. On a fairly big screen. I watched it all the way through. Kenneth Wolstenholme. Do you remember that final goal? Wow! They think it's all over, it is now. Yeah, remember that? Yeah. I remember looking back, I was young then. I remember the excitement of the time. Even though it was England, okay? But we won't say anything about that. But the reality is, there was I watched, Yvonne and I watched it together. It was great. It really was. It came to life again. And no doubt on the 60th anniversary, which is next month, we'll be seeing a lot more of that game. But before I'd watched it in black and white, on a small screen. And sometimes, you know, that can be our experience of God. We can have an experience of God that is confined. We believe that God has created us. We have a way in which we have an experience of God in our lives. But it's pretty confined. We go along with the religious flow. And that's what Peter and John and the others did before they came to Christ. But when you've met with Jesus, it's big screen, digital sound, surrounded by something that before had been black and white and crackly on an old TV. It's a new experience of God's grace that changed these men. It is by the means of God's grace that we know we are saved and redeemed by the love of Christ. Know we've been delivered from our sins and forgiven of our past. And we have given an exciting, a new beginning because we have met with Him. Change from glory into glory. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. That's what was their experience. And that's what's enabling the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians who are dying for their faith to stand before the evil authorities of the world and say, we cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and what we have heard because we have met with Him. I hope you've met with Him. I hope you've had an experience of His grace in your life. Because if you haven't, you have never realized the extent to which God loves you and cares for you. We will never have the power to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in this community of which we are a part until we've experienced His grace, His forgiveness, and the peace and joy He can give to us. That is not only now, but for eternity. The joy we know, the peace we know. You and I have known, Christians, who have shown that grace in their lives and have lived lives, simple lives, but yet have proclaimed through their personalities and through their witness to whom they belong because they have met with Him. Your grandfather was among them. The reality of that truth. Let's remember that today, dear friends. Have an experience of this grace that can change you and enable you in the power of the Spirit. And then to be people of conviction. They were convinced. And courage was something that came from that. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is the refusal to let fear to have the final word. Barclay says that in his commentary in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. When God has done something real in your life, silence is impossible. It is a matter of conviction. And the joy that came into the lives of these men is the joy that comes through the life of the church today. That we are the people of God, and that conviction is that which we believe and that we proclaim, and that is why we are here, called to be the vessel of God's service in the communities of which we are a part. None of us, I'm sure, can have been unaffected by the terrible events in Southampton last week. It was a horror story. And whatever the political intrigue that's going on, whatever the politicians are saying, whatever the police are saying, and whatever the authorities are saying, an event like that is something that exposes to us the very essence of the evil of a society in which we live. But evil must not have the last word. And evil will not have the last word. That's what the proclamation of the day of Pentecost outlined to a lost and sinful world. Evil is on borrowed time. The darkness that covers our land and the world at the moment, with such terrible things happening, encapsulated perhaps in that event last week, which have made us realize that there is something lacking. There is something that has to do with common decency and care and kindness. That it seems to be absent when horrible things like this happen. And a family is in bereft sorrow today for the loss of someone they have loved. Dear friends, that's just one event. Those things are happening all the time. They never come to the headlines. But it's a cancer in our society. It is the essence of sin and rebelliousness against the will of God. God perfected in Eden a place where there was eternal purity and eternal joy. It is the fall of man. It is man devising his own ways. The Tower of Babel. Let's build a tower for ourselves. Let's glorify humanity. Let's proclaim what man can do. God frustrated that attempt, and he'll frustrate all other attempts in his name, by his name and by his grace, when men seek to emulate evil and do not follow the ways of righteousness and truth. And that's why this gospel must be proclaimed with conviction. That's why we proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why we must, in our own way, be ambassadors for that love. Peter and John were given the gifts of Pentecost. We too have been given the gifts of Pentecost, the Spirit of Christ within us. How do we make that manifest? We can't all preach the gospel. Perhaps we feel something. Sometimes we feel so inadequate in what we can do. But we can do something. We can be people of prayer to bring the kingdom of God closer day by day, that God will come and we are in accord with his will and purposes. We can give a cup of water in his name. We can stand up for the lost and the ostracized and the prejudices of society. We can show the love of Jesus at every opportunity and being light in the darkness of the world for him. We often sing that chorus, don't we? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, dear friends. Be yourselves. Because you've been touched by grace. Because you are a child of God now. Like Peter and John were. Don't be intimidated by the world. Don't let the evil of the world have the final word. Speak to our politicians. Write to the BBC. Show a side that has to do with goodness and compassion and grace. Do that gently and lovingly in the name of Jesus, as these men did. And that will change the world day by day, month by month, year by year. It can make a difference. In supporting those causes that seek to eliminate the persecution of Christians in the world, seeking always to do that which we can in the kingdom of God. It's a call that is placed upon us. Do you know why? Because we can't stop speaking of what we have seen and heard. We can't. Because this is a gift of God. This is a gift of God's grace. This is the wonder of his love. You know, we know people that seem to babble on a lot and talk a lot, don't we? And we think, oh, how long are they going to carry on here? There's a lot of idle gossip around sometimes. But dear friends, we never tire of speaking of him. So I pray that that will be our experience today. Your faith has a voice, okay? You have a voice in the world out there. Your story, like Peter and John, matters because it is a story of God's grace in your life. Speak to others of what Christ has done for you. Your conviction is your strength. Stand firm in what God has done and witness as imperfect people. We proclaim a perfect Saviour. And we give him the glory and the praise. When God has placed that fire in your heart and mine, the world can never put it out. Never, ever put it out. Do you know that? Never. Like Peter and John, may we be people who say with quiet confidence, yet holy boldness, we cannot help speaking of what we have seen and heard. And so, dear friends, these men, they were told to be quiet, they couldn't be quiet. These men had a living experience. I hope we have too. And if we don't know Christ this morning, if we haven't trusted him, now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. It would be a wonderful decision that you never ever regret. Have a conviction in that experience of grace. A conviction that is arrogant and proud, because Paul speaks, I may speak the languages of men and of angels, but have not love. I am a clanging gong or a clanging cymbal. Yeah, this is the way to do it. We change the world through love, through grace, through compassion to those who are in need. And know, like Peter and John, that the final victory is ours. The final victory is ours. Yeah, yeah. They think it's all over. It is now. Because Christ has come. Christ is coming again. Are you on his side? I hope you are. Let's proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Let's be a church in this community that seeks to fulfill his will. Let's always be a serving community of God's people, sharing His love and grace, and knowing the joy of His salvation, that we are ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven in the power of the cross and resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The third morning. Who went to the tomb first? The women. Yeah. Peter and John were hiding away. Yeah. They were hiding away. The women went to embalm the body of Jesus. The women went back and they took. And they, Peter and John, ran. They saw that He was alive. They waited in patience for the coming of the Spirit and changed the world. Because He lives, you and I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? That's the question. We cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and heard. Amen.